have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 15. We'll be two places this morning. We'll be in Genesis chapter 15 and also Acts chapter 1. Genesis 15, Acts chapter 1. And while you're turning there, everybody take a nice deep breath. There you go. Take another deep breath. Let it out. There you go. And let's just say our verse this morning. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we've made it so far this year with global pandemics going on, economic disasters. We made it through the lockdowns of last year and partly some of it this year, as well as made it through a tumultuous election. And it's just hard to imagine the curveballs and the calamities that have come our way over this 20-month period that we've been through. And for many of us here, we've suffered tremendous losses. And friends, we've lost some friends we know of. I know Laren went to one of her schoolmates' parents' funeral yesterday. He passed away from COVID only just during a three-week time period. And so many of us have lost friends, we've lost coworkers, and maybe even some of us family. And in the midst of all of this, God is still reminding us that true life and true joy are available in Him. Amen? And that He is not finished in telling our story, and this is not the end. There's more if we will just trust Him and carry His light out into the world. Today's message, called Shine On, I believe, is kind of what sums up last year and what we've been through this year that we've gone through. We've been through something that many of us have never faced before. And I believe this message can tell us how to respond and set ourselves up for what God wants to do in your life and my life, in our lives, in our family lives, in your own life, in your future, as we walk through Christ during these perilous times that we're in. And so let's just look at our passage this morning in Genesis chapter 15, beginning with verse 13. And he said to Abram, or Abraham, "Know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and they will serve them, and they will afflict them for 400 years, and also the nation whom they serve I will judge. And after this, or afterward, they shall come out with great possessions." So they're going to go through something. Something is going to happen to them. And after this, they will come out with great possessions. And so now let's just jump over to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Just a couple of verses down, Acts chapter 1. Let's go down, straight down to verse 3 in Acts chapter 1. It says, "To him he presented himself alive. After," there it is again, "after this he presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs being seen by them during the 40 days, speaking of the times pertaining to God." So I want to speak to you this morning about this text in Acts, and also referring to the story in the Old Testament, because it speaks to our lives today, because it's about time that we show ourselves alive, church. It's about time that we begin to shine on. Because Jesus, after he was crucified, showed himself to be alive again, and how to shine on in spite of the things that he went through on this earth. And in Genesis chapter 15, we see a pattern from the Word of God. Patterns in the Word of God help us to understand the ways of God. And so if you want to understand how God's moving in today's times, then go back and look at the patterns throughout our Scripture that God gives us in His Word. Because God never changes. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And also, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, that the things that were written before time were written for our learning, so we could understand what's going on. And so the Word of God, it shows us a pattern of the way of God. In other words, if you want to know what God's going to do now, go back and look what he did in the past. And so what he did, he said to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, he said, I want to give you a heads up, Abraham. He said, your seed, before Joseph ever went down to Egypt, he said, your seed is going to end up in Egypt. He said, your seed will end up in bondage, and it'll end up serving another people. And he said, you're going to stay there for exactly 400 years. And then at the end of 400 years, they're going to be able to come out of Egypt, and they'll be coming out with great possessions. They'll not be going out like they came in with, but they're going to be coming out loaded down with all that I have for them, because I have a plan. And it's on a time schedule. In other words, God said, it's the time's already been set for this. That before you get into it, and before your seed goes into it, I've already set a time when they'll be coming out of Egypt. And I want you to understand that God said that I've put a time limit on trouble. I've already determined how far trouble will go in your life and in my life. And it will not go one day or any moment longer than what I've said it would be. Because if there's a beginning, then there's also an end. The Bible said in the book of Job, and he ought to know because he went through it, that God sets an end to darkness. He said there's a beginning point and then there's an ending point. God sets the limitations. Not the world that we live in, but God does. God sets the limitations. Not COVID-19, not the president, not the United States, not the United Nations, not the World Health Organization, but God sets the limits. And God said that there is a time when we as a nation, when we as a world, are going to come out of these dark days that we're in. And we're going to come out of this mess. And he said, I've already set the day of when that's going to be coming. And all you have to do is just to look at the patterns and know that there will be coming a day. And our job is, when we begin to see that happen, is to start showing ourselves alive, to keep the faith and be able to shine on. Jesus said in John chapter 2, verse 19, he said, destroy this temple. And when they heard this, they thought they were talking about Herod's temple. But he was talking about his body. Because he knew that he was going to go to the cross. And he said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, there it is again, there's a beginning and there's an end. There's going to be a little rough period here. I'm about to go through a crucifixion. My hands are going to be nailed to a cross. My back's going to be beat with a whip, and they're going to cram a crown of thorns upon my head, and it's going to look bad. I'm going to look pretty battered up, and I'm going to be beaten, and I'm going to look like I'm really defeated, and they're going to put grave clothes on me, and then they're going to throw me in a tomb. This temple, he said, will be destroyed. But in 3 days. Everybody say 3 days. 3 days I will rise again. Amen? And that's the pattern. That's the pattern I'm trying to get across to you this morning. Poor old Job, he thought it was the end. He didn't have the advantage of reading Scripture like we do, or he didn't have the advantage to see how his story was going to play out. But you know the story of Job. God said to the devil, he says, I found somebody down there on planet Earth who will trust me, and not just trust me in the high times. He'll trust me in the low times as well. And Satan said, and you can read this in the Bible, it's a conversation between Satan and God. And Satan says, you know the only reason he's serving you is because you blessed him. He's only serving you because you have him protected, and his family is so blessed with all of those beautiful daughters he has and all of the good things he has happening within his life. But you just let me touch him. And you let me touch his health. and you let me touch his wealth, and you let me touch Job's little world, and you let me mess his family up, and you let me mess with his marriage, and you let me rip him to pieces, and not just let me hit him one time, but multiple times. But I want to hit him again and again and again. Kind of sounds like last year and most this year, doesn't it? And you let me have my way with him. And God said, you can do whatever you want with him. And I love this. But God, here he goes setting a limit again. God says, you can do whatever you want to with him, but do not destroy him. I don't give you permission to destroy my servant Job, because when I get through with him, after you've had your moment, after you've had your days with him, I'm going to raise him up. And what did God do? He blessed Job double from what he had before. You see, your job and my job is to stay alive as best we can and to shine on. And not just give up and just throw in the towel and quit and say, this ain't working for me. Just know that God sets the limits on our trouble, and God sets the expiration dates on our grief that we go through and the sorrow that we encounter in our lives and have to work through, as well as our pain that we have. And what we would call bad luck in our lives, or a bad season, or a bad spell that we're going through, God says, I'm even working on that. He says, I'm thinking ahead, because I'm not through blessing you. I'm not through raising you up. I am not through with you. And God sets limits. And God has an expiration date when it's all going to be over. And our job is to make it to that expiration date. Because there's an end to all of this. Amen? There's an end. And I know there may seem like there may be some gloomy days, and everyone has the attitude of, you know, I'm just sick of wearing masks, or I'm so sick of trying to stop this curve and kill the virus and all of this. But all of these days are coming to an end. We will see a breakthrough. We will see a breakthrough, and we do not need to lose heart now. We need to show ourselves a light to the world. We need to shine on. We need to get back into church and to show ourselves alive, as Jesus says. We need to get back into the Word, and so we can be able to shine on. Jesus, he was led into the wilderness for 40 days. Notice the time frame again, 40 days. And on three different occasions, Satan himself came to Jesus and hit him, and hit him, and hit him. And when you understand that, and you understand that it's not what you're going through, it's how you come out of what you're going through. And with that, that's what we need to focus on. Because Jesus went through those attacks in the wilderness. But Calvary was a different experience for Jesus. Every other experience that Jesus went through, it was just attacks, whether it be from Satan himself in the wilderness, or Satan working through people that he encountered. But all of those really didn't affect Jesus. But Calvary scarred him. Calvary left Jesus marred, and Calvary would make a memory that he'd never be the same again, from the scars that he has to prove it. And I think it's impossible to go through last year of 2020, and even for the most part, if not all of this year in 2021, and not to be either scarred emotionally, mentally, physically, relationally, in our homes, in our church, I mean, this has scarred us. I mean, as a ministry, as a church family, it scarred us. Look around. You can see the empty chairs here today, where families once came to fellowship, where families once came to worship. They're gone. And everybody under the sound of my voice, whether you recognize it or not, you have been affected. And this year has taken a toll on you in some way. And it's not like any other trials that you've encountered, that you might have went through. Because there's times that you'll go through things and, you know, you just feel like saying like Jesus said when he was up on the cross, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit," as he was hanging on the cross. And you just get tired of going through things in this world and the punches that life throws at you here and there and the surprise attacks of the enemy that he comes with. Because after Jesus was crucified, it said he showed himself alive to encourage his disciples and to encourage others to shine on. And he said that the number one thing that I have to do now that I've been through this, and now that I've been through that I've been scarred and marred, is I have to show myself alive, because I want these people to see that I've made it. I want to see these people. I want to show my followers, these blessed people, that I'm still standing. I want to show them because I have a deep love for them. Why? Because it's a pattern. Because they're going through the years like we have been through. They're going to go through some things, and things that they never thought that they would or dream of that they would go through. And some things, they're going to touch us. Some things aren't. They won't really scratch us, but we'll still go through it. Kind of like Daniel in the lion's den, you know, when he was in the lion's den, but the lions never scratched him. And they never clawed on him. They never bit on him. But yet he went through it, and it really didn't bother Daniel. But this trial of Calvary, it was different. And this one touched Jesus. And this one marked him. And that's kind of like what we've been through last year and for the most part of this year. And I think everybody here that I'm talking to this morning has been through something. And not just one thing, but multiple hits and hits. And the Lord declares this, that it's time to shine on and to show ourselves alive to other people who are confused, who are hurt, who are scared and have fear in their lives. It's not time for a pity party. It's not time for depression or discouragement, or despair, or just to drop out of church. But it's time to talk life among us, and time to say that I'm going to come alive again, because I have the hope that's within me, the hope of Jesus Christ. And, you know, you may say, well, I just don't feel worthy to praise him. And to be honest, since COVID, I've kind of fallen away, and Pastor, during these COVID times, I backslid and I've lost ground, and I don't feel worthy. I don't feel clean. I don't feel pure. But it's time to recognize that there's an afterwards. There's an after this. There's an after this test. There's an after this struggle. There's an after this trial. And you wouldn't be listening to me today if you were totally gone, because you're still God's child. Why are you watching online? Why are you listening? Why are you even in church? I don't care how bad you fail. I don't care what you went back to. It's now time. And if there's anything in you that's gravitating towards the cross, that draws you to the cross of what Jesus has done for you and the hope that's within you, then it's time to shine on. Amen? I'm still alive. You're still alive. You and I are still here, and it didn't take us out yet. We're still kicking. We're still praying. We've been down, but we're not staying down. We're getting up. And this causes us to give God praise. Because, you know, when you start out in something, you start out from a perception or where your position of strength is. You know, if you get in a fight or in a battle with the enemy and you just have to determine yourself, man, I'm in this, and you're swinging hard as you can. And that's kind of like what happened to Job. You know, this first messenger came and told him the bad news, and then the second messenger came and told him the bad news, and then there was the third messenger that came, and it felt like his world was actually falling apart in front of him, but he still held it together. He said, "The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And he said, "I'm going to start this trial off right. I'm going to kick back and start with praise." And that's a good way to start. When you're starting to go through a trial or you sense that the enemy is attacking you and you sense that you're going through one, kick it off with going back to worship. Most folk get mad at God when something along comes their way that they didn't expect. They stop coming to church thinking, "Well, I'll just show you, God. I ain't going to come to worship you." It's not the right way. It's not the right thing to do. Remember Job's statement, and I'll repeat it again. The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then, if you read the book of Job, something happened. It's like you keep reading and reading. And it's like, you know, Job starts out, he's strong, he's going to start out with praise, and he's powerful. But then you find him over in Job chapter 2, and he's sitting on the top of a pottery that's been broken, basically on top of an ash heap. And the Bible says that he takes a piece of pottery that's been broken, and he starts scraping the sores on his body because it's the only thing he can do to give him relief from those boils. I mean, they didn't have any salve back in those days. They didn't have any Clearasil. So Job lost everything, and now he has a piece of pottery, and he's scraping his skin. His clothes have been torn off, and he's unshaved himself bald. And he's sitting on the top of ashes with a broken piece of pottery, which is a sermon in and of itself, because sometimes whenever you're going through a trial, the only thing that can bring you comfort is something that's already been broken. The only one that can really help you is someone who has been through something that has broke them. That's why Pastor Adam loves this phrase, "Broken crayons still color," because they do. They may not look pretty, but they get the job done. And there's something about the fact that they've been through the brokenness too that brings comfort to both you and I when we go through something, because God will still use your broken pieces. But then you keep reading the story of Job, and he's moving. And it's like he's moving from this place of worship to kick his trial off. And then you move into chapter 10, and he starts saying, you know, I'm just weary of life. I'm tired of it. My soul is just bitter. And he says, my laughter is gone. And he said, when I look for God, I go forward, and God's not there. He said, I can't find him. But then in verse 10, something happens. He describes how he wishes that he wasn't even ever born. He loses hope. I mean, it's just wearing him down, and what the devil is doing to him with all of those punches, and he's just trying to wear us out. But yet, even when we know the devil is a liar, he still keeps throwing those punches at him. But yet, we're still going to shine on because we're children of God. And we're going to show ourselves alive in Christ because we have a hope within us that cannot fail and does not perish. We are still praising the Father. We're still praying to the Father. We're still trusting in the Father. We're still believing the Father of what He's going to do. And by the time Job gets to the end of it in his book, in his story, he knows the way that I take in Job 23, verse 10, he says, "And after this, After he has tried me, I will come forth as gold. He's hit me. The enemy has tried this. He's tried that. And it just didn't work. And so there's always a reason for us to shine on. For when Job started praying for his friends, God turned his captivity and God blessed him with double in his life. So there's a beginning and then there's an end of what you go through, and God determines that. But in the midst of that, we need to shine on. In October of 1974 in Zaire, Africa, which is today's Congo, Africa, George Foreman went up against an up-and-coming boxer by the name of Muhammad Ali. It was called the Rumble in the Jungle. 60,000 people filled the stadium in that massive heat under that hot African sun. 1 billion people were watching by television as George Foreman, the highly favored, huge, muscle-cut, ripped fighter who was the heavily favored one to win, would go into the ring with Muhammad Ali. Ali was known as the Louisville Lip. Why? Because he was a trash talker. And so before the fight started, he would go into the press conference and he would say things like, "You think the world was shocked when Nixon resigned? Wait till I whip George Foreman's behind." And then he said this real famous line where he would say, "Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George, you can't hit what you can't see." And he kept just trash talking this up and trash talking George Foreman. So the big fight finally starts. And as predicted, it looks like George Foreman is dominating the fight that first round and then into that second round. And everybody's thinking, man, he must have really hurt Muhammad Ali, because Muhammad Ali just keeps falling back on those ropes and he's just leaning back and he's just using his gloves to cover his face and to buffet his body from the punches that George is throwing, trying to cover up the rest of the body. And George Foreman, this massive man with arms that look like logs, is just pounding away and pounding away at Muhammad Ali. And then every once in a while, Muhammad Ali would turn and grab him and pull him up and say, "George, they told me you could hit." And it would just enrage George Foreman when he said this. And it was just causing George to throw more punches and more punches in that hot African sun and that humidity that they were there. And he was swinging with everything he had. And it looked like Muhammad Ali was staggering at one point. But Muhammad Ali would later let everyone know in on his strategy. He said, "I was planning it and I was faking it. And I was leaning on those ropes." And he said, "It's what I call rope-a-dope." He said, "I was leaning on the ropes, and George was the dope." And he said, "I knew if I could get him to hit me, and hit me, and hit me, and as big as he is, I'm going to wear him out and wear him down, and then my moment will come." Well, all you young people out there are wondering, well, what happened? All of us old people, we know exactly what happened. It was going bad, and they were actually thinking about calling the fight. And Howard Cosell, a lot of you young people don't know who he is. He was a sports announcer that wore a funny toupee, and everybody always made fun of that. He was also a critic of Muhammad Ali, and he would start talking like this. He said, "George Foreman looks like he's going to kill Muhammad Ali. I'm actually very concerned because it almost looks as if Muhammad Ali could die today." And Muhammad Ali, he's just dodging and blocking and leaning on those ropes and just buffeting his body for about 6 rounds. And this is what happened according to George Foreman. He says, "I thought he was just another knockout victim for me until that 7th round. Because I hit him in the jaw so hard that I thought it would kill him. I thought I broke his jaw." And George said within a few minutes, Muhammad Ali kind of bounced off those ropes and he grabbed me and he said these words in my ear in the 7th round. He said, "Is that all you got, George?" And George said, I can't explain it. But he said, and I'm giving you his exact words, he said, "I realize this ain't what I thought it was." And George said, "In that moment, something just left me. And I realized that I'm not dealing with some little weakling. He might be stronger than what I actually gave him credit for." And when I think back over those 8 months of restrictions that we've had and the pandemic, the way it's going, slacks off, then starts up again, and the social distancing we do and the flattening the curve and the staying away, and then on top of that, what started out as legitimate peaceful protest turned end up to being riots and violence and burning and looting, and then on top of that, a crazy election where people were so angry at each other that hating one another enough to storm our nation's capital at the beginning of this year, some losing their lives in that. And now we're having an upsurge in this Delta virus, which is mutated from the COVID virus, which is affecting so many people now. And at some point, you almost feel like saying, "Is that all you've got? Devil, is that the best you can do?" And so, church family, now is the time we need to shine on. Amen? And by the way, Muhammad Ali knocked out George Foreman in the 8th round of the fight. And church, our 8th round is coming. Amen? And we need to shine, and we need to show ourselves alive to a worried and fearful world that's around us. Because some great things are coming to God's people, and we need to give Him a shout of praise as we shine on this morning. I know sometimes it feels like we're fighting a losing battle in this world, but yet we're already victorious if we are truly from God. And we should give God thanks daily for His revealed word to us to maintain the course and to fight the fight. As we let the world know that He cannot win, for our joy remains in this, that greater is He who is within us than he who is in the world. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, help us to trust in You with all of our hearts. Help us to not lean on our own understanding, but in all of our ways submit ourselves to You to make our path straight and to guide us down that right path. Father, we know in this life there's going to be times of suffering and hardship, but help us to take heart because we know that You have overcome the world. Give us the courage to face those challenges as they come, to help us to persevere and to not give up, and to give us strength as we go through those storms in life. And we ask that You would pour out Your peace upon us and to keep us in Your perfect peace that You have, and help us to increase our faith, to always look to You when trials come in our life. Instead of blaming You to look elsewhere for answers, that we draw to You, we look to You and we trust completely in You. Yes, we know it's hard to do, but I ask that You'd help us to surrender everything to You. Our emotions, our thoughts, our actions, and our control. Thank You, Jesus, for Your help through these extremely difficult times we're going through. We know You've got this, and we know You have us in Your hands. Help us to shine on, to show ourselves alive as You become alive within our life. We praise You. And we put all of our faith and trust in You. It's in Your name we trust and pray, Jesus. And the church said, Amen.